This is Michael. How can I help you?
Hi, Michael. Mara over at Stericycle. How are you?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm fine. I tried to reach you. Your line was busy.
That's okay. I dialed the Verizon number a couple times, and I thought, well, maybe this is some tricky voicemail. But when they were going to connect me to a rep, I figured I'd probably had the wrong number.
Right. It was a typo in the email. I'm sorry about that.
But that's okay. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wanted to talk with you because I read through the correspondence that you sent and just wanted to find out where we stand with everything. I'm
okay.
Kind of confused, as you noted, you were a little bit confused as well, so I just wanted to clarify on where we're at.
Yes. So they won't create an addendum for you.
Okay, that's fine.
They're claiming that the waste acceptance policy that I sent you states what we will and will not accept.
Okay.
We basically will not accept anything that's recognizable, is what I was told.
Okay. So, you know, and obviously we're going to comply with all the laws as stated in the agreement. I mean, that's what the legal agreement's for, so I'm just confused as to what that part was about, and just wanted to, you know, because it does say you haven't checked this path on there, that pathological waste,
yes.
So that I don't know why there's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm looking at my regulated medical waste definitions, it says that pathological waste is human or animal body parts, organs, tissues, and surgical specimens. When I requested an addendum to be created for you, I asked for a few different things to be put on there, and it was what you had asked of me.
Right.
And for some reason, legal kicked it back to me and said, we can't create addendums for this. The waste acceptance policy is all he needs. There really shouldn't be, I mean, you'll get stickers marked for incinerate only. The waste will be incinerated.
Okay.
It will be incinerated, so it will be hauled over to Haw River.
Okay, so it is going to Haw River, at least we know that, but that can't be put into the agreement. The reason why is that, you know, I could have our attorney talk with, you know, your legal if you wanted. I'm just in the middle here. I'm just trying to figure out what, you know, contractually you're able to do.
Right, right. Let me instant message legal to see if that's something. The problem is what if we close that plant down? Well, now that plant no longer reflects what the contract states.
Oh, I see. Well, we can always correct it if that ever was to happen. Why, is there a plan on closing that plant down?
No, but, you know, what if our routes are jam-packed there and we have to haul it further somewhere else? I mean, then we're not promising what we said we would, you know? So, that's the only problem I could see them bringing up just from past experience with contracts. But let me see if I can get a hold of Jose Moya.
Okay. Sure. And Mara, am I saying your name right? Is it Mara?
Mara, right.
Mara, okay. Mara, the first trimester and second trimester abortions that we do, are those going to be picked up by Stericycle and then taken to Haw River, or is it done to a central location? I'm just trying to find out so that, you know, we understand what's going on, because we have to follow the law and we need to make sure that we're in compliance with all the, you know, standards.
Yes. So, I'm sorry, the question was?
Well, I just wanted to know that according to this contract, the way it is written without the addendum, which is not necessary, you still will pick up first trimester and second trimester abortion.
As long as it's not recognizable. So I don't know how far that means.
Okay.
Does that mean second trimester? Does it only mean first? I don't know.
So it just, you do pick up fetal remains, however.
We do, as long as you can't tell what it is. Now, you know, I called that trans office in Haw River, and she said that the boxes are never opened. We don't open any of the boxes once they get there, but we're expecting that the customer will follow the procedures and not put anything in the boxes that's recognizable. That's all she said to me.
Right. Well, what about the OSHA training? I mean, are they going to, you said that according to our agreement with Stericycle, you're going to come in and show us how to do this. And at some point, you know, are we doing this in a situation where you're just telling us how to do it, or are you actually going to show us how to dispose of the different items and how to box them, or is that not a part of the training?
I think, well, so the main focus of the training is the bloodborne pathogens training, because that's what OSHA wants to see that is done. Then there is OSHA compliance training, so there's several questions that come up from the staff that pertain to OSHA, but, you know, might be about safety meetings, or might be about, you know, putting boxes near doorways, I mean, things like that. And then they do the walk-through facility check while they're there, so they're pointing out any potential exposure, anything that might help you make sure that your facility is 100% compliant with state and federal laws. And then the waste segregation training, I believe it's very light when they're there and they do that. Basically, they're just going to go over with the staff, you know, what goes in the red bag, what doesn't go in the red bag, how to obviously tie up the bags and quote, seal up the box safely.
And how much do you think that we're going to need to purchase from Stericycle on a weekly basis as it pertains to the different items? I guess it all would depend, but I'm just wondering, is you said that you sell certain products that we can use for the packaging and all of that. That's in addition to the $750 you quoted me a month. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how that would work?
As part of the $750 a month, you would get the boxes and the liners.
And that's up four boxes, right?
I think, didn't we add more than that?
Not that I can recall.
For large, or what did we do?
Is it on the contract?
It should be.
And Michelle is, just so I know, that Michelle is an attorney with Stericycle, the one that you had mentioned you were going to try to reach out to?
Jose Moya is an attorney.
Oh, Jose, I'm sorry. Michelle was another person referenced in this email chain that you had sent.
She is, what is her title today? She's changed titles a couple times. Manager of New Ventures.
Okay. Yeah, because as I'm looking at this here, there was a statement that was made by one of the, by Jose, saying that our WAP, what is WAP?
Waste Acceptance Policy.
Okay, so he says that the waste acceptance policy says that we do not accept human remains, which would encompass fetal remains. So I'm, you know, that's where I'm confused, and then the discussion went on from there. So we're going to need some kind of clarification on things. If, you know, you got one policy saying one thing, you know what I'm saying? We're just trying to.
Yeah, and then I told you that I managed Planned Parenthood's So it's like,
right.
I understand where you want some more clarification on this.
Right, so you understand my point here. Because that's what I was told before, but then, you know, we contacted, as I told you, the other clinic in Richmond, and they said they use Stericycle. So we're trying to figure out, well, what can we do to, you know, figure out what's going on here.
Yeah. Let's see. Give me one second.
Sure.
So you've got another site that uses us. I'm trying to add this one.
Well, I was actually asking about Reading, Pennsylvania, and seeing if, you know, as you said, if there was more than one location, there would have to be a separate contract. So that was but that's not being added. I'm not trying to have anything else added right at this moment. And I think that we mentioned March 1st, but it was actually April 1st. It should have been on the first agreement.
Yeah. I think the best person to get answers from is Tim Zernzak, and his title, he's the corporate director of safety.
Okay.
I think maybe we should conference with him, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that if that's going to be of help to the situation, then great. If you want to bring him in, or if you just want to call back when you're both available, I'll be here until 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I don't know how long I'm on the East Coast. But
I'm in Chicago, and I'm actually getting ready to leave here shortly. I took a half today because my daughter's off of school. So I'm going to email Tim right now before I leave that I'd like to have him conference with us, because you're right, you've got one site that uses us, you've got another site that would like to use us, and we're having trouble adding this site. And you understand that they're not willing to do an addendum, so what is our next step? You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And then we can get our questions answered, you know, as it pertains to pathological waste.
Right.
And then we can move forward. There won't be holdups after we talk to Tim.
Right, that sounds good. A couple of things as far as the... you had stated that you managed the Planned Parenthood at one time.
I did.
And obviously, Stericycle was picking up at those places and still is, right?
Right. Yep.
So, I don't see what the problem would be. And you said that in your email as well.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as the unrecognizable, is there a definition that Haw River gave you as to what that means? Because I don't have a clue as to what all that's referring to. Is there a specific process that OSHA is going to tell us what we need to do, or are you saying OSHA is not involved in that part of things?
I don't know. So Tim will be able to answer that question for sure. I don't know if that's an OSHA-related thing, if that's the health department, if that's the state, if that's a Stericycle thing. I can't answer that completely. But Tim will definitely be able to answer that for us. And I could probably, hoping that there's lots of people on and off of vacation this time of year, so I'm hoping he'll be in the office or available to speak to on Monday, and we can set a conference call up. And I'll keep you in the loop of things with your email.
Okay, that sounds good. The only thing I'm concerned about on Monday, I don't know what times you'll be available to call, but I may be on, you know, doing different things. So you can just try to reach me if I don't have to leave a message. But I should be available. So if you want to give me a call on Monday, if he's available, if you want to coordinate that. Is there a specific time you could set up, or you won't know that right now because you can't, you know, kind of reach him?
Yeah, I'm going to reach him first and find out what his availability is.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah,
and
I was instant messaging legal as we were speaking, and answer continuously to me is we don't provide that type of an addendum for any customer. And all I asked was, can we at least add the verbiage of, you know, the waste will be incinerated and taken to Hot River? And he said he can't answer that. So
we don't really need an addendum. That was based on what you had told us to do, you know, because I had asked if we can add it with it. You said we could put whatever we want in it. You said think about verbiage, remember?
Yeah, yep.
We don't really need that. I just was told that was an option, so that's why when we looked at it for legal purposes, we thought it would be best to have it in there. But if you're saying that they're saying the contract is good as is, then we should be fine.
Yeah, I guess I was under the impression that you wanted in there that it needed to be incinerated and that it needed to go to Hot River, or you needed to know at least where it was going. But
right.
You would receive that on your manifest and your document. It'll say, you know, how many boxes we picked up and what plant it's going to.
Sure.
And then I believe you get final destruction notice after it's been gone. So
how many boxes were in regards to the first agreement that we've been discussing?
Look it up here.
And if you would just kind of go over that with me so that, you know, I understand verbally what we're expecting here, because I'm not certain if the contract itself lays everything out that we need, so it'd be helpful if you would just
okay.
Go through it again, if you don't mind.
No problem. Called Women. Women's Health and Medical Services, Inc.
That's the name that should be on it. Yes.
Yeah. I sent it to your email, right?
Yes, you did.
An attachment? Okay.
I could pull it up as well. I just, you know, want to go over that, make sure we have all that laid out right. And
sure.
And check to see if the phone number as well, if that's correct, or if it's...
Here it is. Oh, no, that's the waste acceptance policy. Here it is. Okay, so it was in the box where it says services to be provided, and we'll have to change this because you want the start date to be to reflect the April 1st, and it's not. Right now it's March.
Right.
Services to be provided. To the left you'll see regulated medical waste. So this is all of their, you know, gloves, gauze, bandages, anything soaked in fluid, their plastic tubing, any full-sealed sharps containers that they have. Which I'm assuming they're going to have all of these things. So this anything contaminated that they're not going to use on another patient, they're going to put into these red bags and boxes that we provide. Okay?
Okay.
That's one stop a week is the service frequency. And then...
And the box here that says PATH/chemo is the one that would deal with the human remains.
Yes. So... So they're going to have a big box for red waste, for their soft bag waste, and then next to it they're going to also have a big box for their PATH. So we're going to pick
and
up
how,
one.
Go ahead.
They carry 50 pounds each of waste. So when we get there once a week, we're going to take two big 50-pound boxes from them and leave them two big clean, you know, tubs or boxes for them with liners. So we're always replacing what we take. And we come out there on a scheduled basis so they don't have to call us.
Oh, it's on a call basis? It's not just a regular pickup?
Oh, yeah, no,
day?
It's on a schedule. They wouldn't have
okay.
to call. Yeah, they would not have to call us. We would come every week, same day of the week. They'll know we're coming. You know, a driver usually starts to get to know the staff, and they know him. And
so there's more or less, if there's more or less each week, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still the flat rate. I mean, not more, but.
Yeah, it's the flat, still the flat $750 per month. And that covers, you know, one large regulated medical waste container and one large task container. Now, if they were to get there and they had two regulated medical waste containers, there's an additional charge here for $35 that you see in the box. It says each additional container charge, $35. So if we get there and there's, you know, an extra box of HATH or an extra box of RMW, then they're gonna get billed $35 on their container. If they notice themselves starting to call and ask for more boxes and liners periodically, and now we're getting there and there's in four and five and six or eight containers, you know, you're going to want to reach back out to me or them, someone, and we're going to need to increase the frequency to two stops a week or increase the box, you know, amount. Let's change it to two boxes of PATH and two boxes of, you know what I mean, whatever fits their needs. So we have
right.
to remain flexible to that. You know, let's say you cut clinic hours and now you guys aren't there 5 days, you're only there three. You know, we have to be flexible to those types of situations so we can obviously reduce the frequency at that time.
Right. The path, is there just, you said there's one, you know, out of the four boxes, only one box would be for the path?
One box a week, so there'll be four a month.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so one box, and
one large box of
everything's going to be in the one box.
Their path will be in one box.
Right, and then the syringes and things of that nature would be in a separate box.
Yes, path in the separate. RMW is full sealed sharps containers. Soft waste, anything that has fluids on it. Plastic tubing.
What I don't understand is in the path, it's just a box. I mean, obviously, we need the fetal remains and the human tissue. Does that go in any type of containers or?
Nope. They'll put it into the red bag, and the red bag will be in a plastic tub. You know, the tub we generally recommend for. Anybody in the industry that has more, you know, wet items, anything that can leak or soak through, obviously we're not going to put blood or fluids in a box. So you'll probably get a gray plastic tub.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to understand is if, you know, the people that come to our clinic for abortion services, whether they be first trimester or second trimester, do those abortions have to be separated by container, or are they just going to be put in to the one bag as a whole, is what I'm asking.
They're just going to be put right into the bag.
Okay.
Because they're, you know, it's tissues and things and human parts. And yeah, they're just going to put it right into the bag, and the bag is in the box.
Okay. And then to the side of that would be the different types of other things that you just were talking about.
Yes.
And will this all... Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's their regulated medical waste. That's just their plain, regular, regulated medical waste.
Right. And all of this just goes down to Hall River and then it's taken care of from there. There's no... on the manifest that we have, and I think that I was asking to see if... Because I've never seen... I mean, I've seen manifests, but is this a manifest that you provide, or is this something that the state provides? I'm confused about the manifest.
The driver comes out there. He's going to scan. You guys are going to get labels, and there'll be barcodes on those labels. He'll scan that barcode, and they'll have a handheld device that's going to print out the documentation, the manifest or documentation for you. It'll say, you know, the date, how many boxes were picked up, if anything else was picked up, and somebody is gonna, in the office has to sign off on it. If nobody's there, he won't just leave. Somebody has to legally sign off on it. We'll keep a copy for our records, and we archive it, and you guys will keep a copy for your records.
Okay.
And then OSHA, if they were to ever come in there, they're going to want to at least see the last 3 years of your OSHA or of your manifest and documents. It has
okay.
to be filed.
Oh, we have to, we file it with the state, or we keep it? You mean
keep
file it within our office?
File it within your office, the last 3 years. And the nice
okay.
thing is if you can't find, let's say they come in and you can't find, you know, last summer, well, then you'd give me a call and I'll get you to somebody that can, it's archived, so we'll be able to get you last summer.
And those manifests, do they include us labeling every item that's in the box, or does it just a general overview, or how does that work?
It'll just say, you know, one box pass, one box RMW.
Okay, so, and once again, that's what I'm trying to, and that's why we wanted to see if that language would be put into the agreement. I guess we'll talk with Tim at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because that would sound to me to be, the that would be separated as pathological waste.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And hours of operation, there has to be someone at the facility when you come, correct?
Yes. So a lot of clinics will give us, you know, 7 to 4, 8 to 5. You know, if you guys are gone for lunch, we like to know those things so we don't come during your lunch hour.
And does it have to be a trained OSHA employee that is there when Stericycle comes, or can it be just anybody who's present?
It has to be a present employee. We've had receptionists sign off on manifest because everybody else is busy. That's okay. It's just somebody from your facility has to sign it.
Right. And as far as the Reading, Pennsylvania location, is that also Haw River? Is that where it's transported to, or is it elsewhere?
Do you know that account number?
Well, we don't have an account for that particular.
Oh, you don't?
Number. There's no number. I don't have a number for that. We don't have a contract with you on that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
But we're servicing them?
No, there's no service. I'm just saying to set up a new contract, what would you require?
Yeah, that would still be the closest.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing outside of, I mean, you run your own incineration plants. There's nothing outside of Stericycle that you take to. Is that my understanding? Everything is taken to a Stericycle-owned place.
Yes, so, they're our own plants. We are not a third-party
right.
hauler.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not a third-party hauler ever. It's always contained.
Ever.
So we don't need any outside agreements or know what's going on. We don't want anything to happen, you know what I'm saying, where our waste ends up in a dumpster somewhere.
No. No. You know, we're the largest vendor in our industry, and we're the best and the biggest, and we handle it, you know, we handle everything the right way.
And you know, you said that you handled most of the contracts for Planned Parenthood. Are they one of the, like, largest customers, or?
They're one of our corporate accounts, yes.
Okay.
They have, I know they're region, but, you know, they're all across the country, so somebody had to handle them here. They're sensitive.
Sure. And none of our information is ever released as far as what we do with the contract. It's not, you know, all of our persons, we don't get sold, like, you don't sell it to a company that wants to sell us, you know, syringes or other medical equipment. I mean, you're not selling our data.
No way. We have our own products team. We would never sell your data. You know, if anything, you might have a representative from Stericycle reach out to you finding out where do you buy your Sharps containers, you know, can we give you discounts, can we beat your, you know, that sort of a thing, but we'll never, ever give your information to anybody else. We like to think of ourselves as a one-stop shop, so we like to handle, you know, your products world, your, you know, your service world, your OSHA, your, you know, everything in one shot.
Right. Well, it's convenient.
Right.
And as far as the other questions, as far as we talked about the manifests, are there any other? I mean, the boxes are provided in the 750, correct?
Yes. Boxes and liners, part of the service. The only other fee you'll ever see is a fuel and an energy charge. So the energy is to run our plant. The fuel is to run our truck. That's it.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I wasn't aware of that. How does that work?
They'll get a monthly fuel and energy charge.
And what is that average? Do you have any idea what that would average?
I would have to look it up. It just depends, you know, on your area, how far, you know, how far do we have to go. Oh, let's see. Okay, give me your zip code. Let's try by that way.
Okay, now do you need the zip code for the one in Richmond, or are you talking about the one in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Okay, Richmond would be, I think it's on the contract there.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Richmond is 23219.
Right.
One, 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 south. You know, there's, it can be anywhere from $12.75 a stop to $16.75 a stop.
And that's per stop each month?
Per stop each month, but they'll get one bill for four stops.
Okay, so it'll be about 4 times 20, something like that, or average?
Yeah, maybe a little less, yeah. No, they keep an eye on the industry and the economy and see where we're, you know, at it with gas and energy, too, so.
All right. And as far as the, when do we begin with the OSHA training? I'm sorry to jump back to that. I wanted to just make sure that I understand, when does that start? Is that before you start pickups? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the staff is entitled to have the bloodborne pathogens training before they start working on people and coming in contact with fluids. So I've had clinics ask me to rush the training, and I've had clinics that have already had it, and they want to schedule it 6 months out. So it's really just based on your needs. I mean, if you need it right away, you know, then I can reach out to a specialist that's local to that office and get them to give you a call, and you can schedule something.
Okay. And
you.
Okay, and when should we discuss something like that? Is that before we sign the contract, or?
After we get the contract signed and we get everything in the system, I can at least give the specialist the account number with your address and everything, and then have her, you know, get you in right away.
Okay, that sounds good. Let me ask you, you said that, you know, when you had managed regions of Planned Parenthood, and can you tell me what you normally ask them to do so that we can follow a similar pattern of preparing our waste, so, you know, that it's exactly, so it's ready to be collected? Is there a particular process, or is it the same process for every contract? I mean, I think that in our particular type of industry, I was wondering if there were more guidelines that we need to follow, or can you share on that?
I don't know how they're going to ask you to package pass, because I'm not familiar with that. You know, I know they go over light waste segregation with the staff. The main thing is so the staff is safe, to package the waste safely, and the staff isn't exposing themselves. You know, we'll talk with Tim about that. He's, you know, head of safety. So we'll talk about Tim about how, you know, the correct way to package these things are, you know, and hopefully the specialist will go over that when she's there.
And the pathological waste, the bags that you talked about, and I guess you called them red bags,
Backliners.
Other liners. Is that what the I was wondering what the name of them are.
Yeah, the red bag liners, yep. Just to prevent leaks and spills. And
okay. And when I know that you're ready to go,
no, that's
and I appreciate
okay.
your time.
That's okay.
Okay. The other question pertained to what do we have to do when we go to the other side of the country as far as the West Coast? Is the West Coast under a different type of process, or is the West Coast under the similar type of process?
So every state has regulations and limitations around storage for your regulated medical waste. So, for example, in the state of California, if they generate 20 pounds or less a month, they have to have it removed once a month. And if they have more than 20 pounds a month, then they have to have it removed weekly, at least. Pennsylvania is one stop a month by law. Florida is one stop a month by law. I believe West Virginia. There's a handful of states that have to have their waste removed monthly. But I know California is monthly and weekly, depending on their weight.
Okay. And as far as the waste is concerned, does it need to be refrigerated? What before you know it gets picked up, or how does that get done?
In California?
Oh, no, in Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. In Reading, as far as Richmond and Reading.
Let me look up some regulatory documents here.
I'm just wondering what typically is done, whether or not there's a law. Mm-hmm. Just trying to figure out what the advice from, you know, Stericycle to us would be. Do we... you know, before the truck, you know, we, I mean, obviously it's going to be there throughout the week, you know, through the whole week. I'm just wondering what we do with the fetal remains and the, I know that the syringes are pretty easy because there's like a box that we just deposit them in on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one of your videos on the box that just gets replaced each week. Is that something that's a part of this contract, or is that something we got to buy in addition? Just a couple follow-up questions here. I'm sorry about that.
The box that gets replaced each week is the box that I told you that we include as part of our service, the box and the liner.
Great.
Yeah, so that's the box they're talking about. It's actually a secondary container because you're putting your full-sealed sharps containers in that container next to all of your soft waste.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got some state regulatory requirements. I'll send you something.
Okay.
Waste segregation. Let's see. Wait, I've got a waste segregation guideline. I think that'll help you.
And you're just going to send that along, then we can just look at it, right?
Yeah, I'll attach it to your email.
Okay.
I'll send you an email, yeah.
So you don't know generally how it's done as far as, refrigerated the fetal remains? Do we refrigerate the fetal remains until you come, and then that day we prepare the box? Or?
You know, it's just different in every state. Some states require refrigeration, some don't. Just depends. If we're coming there once a week and you still need to refrigerate because there's odor, then we're not coming out there enough. We need to come out there more.
I see. So it's not something where you just kind of...
It's not mandated.
Okay. It's just a matter of trying to figure that part out. And
I know the OSHA piece is hard to keep up with. And that's one of the reasons people typically go with our preferred program, because we keep you updated with federal and state laws. The clinic will also get a email from us. It'll be a link where they can access our SteriSafe portal information online. And I think we discussed this lightly, but they'll be able to print out an OSHA compliance manual, and they'll have all of their four basic safety plans in there, and they'll keep updated that way, and we'll actually red flag them. So if a regulation changes down the road in the state or federally, you know, we'll drop, they have a compliance tracker on that, and we'll drop it below 100%. So they'll need to, they'll see what area they'll need to go to update.
Okay.
Which is kind of nice, because then you're not forced to navigate through websites and find what exists and, you know, the OSHA.gov and all that fun stuff.
Sure.
You know, all right, regulatory, let's do waste segregation guideline, and let's do you've got the waste acceptance protocol. I'll throw the U.S. regulations in there.
Okay.
How to package boxes. That'd probably help you.
No, not 2-4.
Okay, I just sent it to you. Sent you 3 attachments.
Okay, great. I'll go through those and look through what's in there.
Yeah, see if that's helpful. I'll set up. I'm emailing Tim right now. We'll get Tim on the line, and if you want, we could probably get somebody from legal on the line too. They're more
whatever you think.
Yeah, they're more contract driven. Probably Tim is our best bet.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you know, we could go if there's any outstanding things from there, we can go on. Go ahead.
He's a head of all of our plants. He's the director of safety, so he's the one that says what comes and what can't come. So he's
all right,
the
sounds good.
Questions the best, yeah.
Great. And the liners that you provide to us, is there multiple liners that we can put in each box, or is this one big liner?
It's one big liner. If you feel better about double bagging, you're welcome to purchase more bags from us. But the driver will leave you one liner per box.
And what goes in the liner? We don't put the syringes in there. What
no.
Is the only things that go in there?
So in the regulated medical waste box, they'll
yes.
put in their gloves. They'll put in anything, any PPE, any gauze.
In the liner, does that go in the liner or does that stay out of the liner?
In the liner.
In the liner. Okay.
In the liner and in the box, like a big trash can. You know,
okay.
Bandages, blood-soaked items, bodily fluids. Then
and
their clothes.
Is that where the aborted parts go as well? And in you're saying just
no,
the blood goes in there?
Just blood-soaked items. You know, maybe a what are those disposable gowns they wear, or you know, any of that stuff. Anything that has fluids on it can go in there. Then their closed sealed sharps containers.
Mm-hmm.
You'll put that in there as well. So you don't dump the sharps in there. You put the full box inside of the secondary box.
Oh, with the sharps container, that sharps container gets incinerated as well?
Yep, that entire sharps container does not come back. So you'll need to keep purchasing those and replenishing the clinic's sharps containers, but we'll always take them.
And that's a hard plastic, isn't it, that
yes.
sharps container?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know you put the plastic in there, too. I just thought you put the syringes and things separate from that. So.
Anything that can cut or poke or, you know, or stab needs to go in there.
Okay. And in the liner, you said that just the gloves and blood-soaked items.
Yes.
But I'm trying to put, what about the fetal remains? I don't know where they go. We can't put those in the bag.
That's the PATH box.
Oh, that's a separate box.
That's a separate box. So each clinic will have two large boxes, one for PATH, one for RMW.
RMW? What is that?
Regulated medical waste. That's blood-soaked items and sharps containers.
Right. Well, I was referring to the box that we would put the – you said that we just put everything in the one bag and then box it, and that would be the tissue and all the arms, legs, and all of that.
There's two waste streams in the clinic, though. So there's two boxes, and that's something that the specialist will probably cover.
Okay.
The one box is for the PATH, That's for your tissue and your organs and things. And then the other box is just your regulated medical waste. So that's your blood-soaked gowns and items and gloves and paper towels and bandages. Anything that is contaminated with fluids needs to go in that box with the full sealed Sharps containers.
Right. And as far as the TAF box, it just has to be unrecognizable in terms of, I mean, I don't know how, can you tell me how, I mean, some of it will be recognizable. I mean, it's unavoidable. I'm just trying to figure out, yeah.
That's what we're going to talk to Tim about. That's kind of where our we've hit a bump. We've hit a bump,
right.
and we need some answers. And you saw that I was a little kind of confused, too, and pressed the issue a little bit because, you know, I know, and I'll tell Tim this, you know, I know we service Planned Parenthoods across the country. They're probably doing similar, you know, procedures. And so we need to know where to draw the line.
Sure. I mean, obviously, they Planned Parenthood does have marketed abortion clinics, so it's kind of confusing to me that, you know, that you wouldn't be putting everything, you know, in the same bag. It's just I'm trying to find out what unrecognizable means, and that's why I was trying to get some more clarity on that issue.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay. All right.
So we'll get Tim on the line. You know, that's our best resource is Tim.
Sure.
You know, we'll have our answers on Monday.
That sounds great. I guess the one last thing is we talked about no third trimester at all. We know that for sure?
No third trimester at all, absolutely.
But definitely first trimester and second trimester abortions.
Yes, but we're going to have to ask on the second, because if the second trimester is recognizable, then we won't take it. And that's where I'm stumped, because I don't know if it is or not.
Well, can't we just, I mean, ultimately, I don't like, people don't like to have these discussions, but if we make it unrecognizable, then it would be acceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that is what Tim would advise. We'll see what he says.
Yeah, we'll see what he says. You know, I'm going to email him everything that we've discussed. And hopefully we can get him on the phone on Monday. That would be great.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that covers everything. I appreciate your time, and I'm coming at this from more of a business perspective than really knowing how this all works, and just want to make sure that everything is in compliance with the law. You know, and that's why we had.
That.
Yeah.
I think Tim will respect that too.
Good. Good. So,
yeah, no,
why don't you just?
That's what we hear.
Yeah. So let's just you just let me know. You could just send me the email, I guess, a message saying, you know, this time you're able to call, and I'll be ready for the call with you and Tim. You're going to do the conference call on your end. You'll have the system in place for that, or?
Yeah, I've got a 1-800 number that we can all dial into for the conference call. Do you know what your schedule looks like on Monday? Are you pretty much open, or?
Well, I do have telephone meetings throughout the day, but I would suggest, if you just suggest time, I'll see if it'll work. It probably will work.
Or do you want
I could
to
always
email me what you have, a few time slots that you have open?
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
Okay.
I could definitely
that'll
do
help
that.
Us. I think that'll help us.
Okay, that sounds great.
Definitely. Okay, well, have a really great weekend, and looking forward to some answers on Monday.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And if anything else comes up at all, feel free to email me.
Okay.
Okay?
That sounds good. And I have your number, if I do give you a call, I'm not going to be calling into your office line. Is it possible for you all to give me a call on Monday if we set it up that way? Because I don't – okay. What
yeah.
I'll do is I will give you a time, and then you could just respond with if that time's going to work for both you and Tim.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.